Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tushel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I'm your host, Stacey Tushel. And today we have something fun and new that we haven't done in quite a while. We are going to be doing some on-air coaching sessions. Now, I will tell you, I'm doing this intro after I recorded the on-air coaching session. And some of this content I've never coached anybody on before. I've never publicly talked about. Things came up in this that I was just like, oh, this is so good. So if you like my solo episodes and you like when I come on to teach, I mean, that's what you're going to be hearing. You get to hear a real person, a real business owner who has real struggles and real questions and who wants to grow her business just like you do. So you're getting my honest answer in the moment and just random ideas that I'm trying to spark and give to her. And I think you're going to get a lot of value out of these on-air coaching calls. So in case you're like, well, how do I get to do one of these? Please know that all of these people that you're going to be hearing, they are all members of a program that I recently ran, the Profit Mastermind. We will be relaunching this coming up in August, September-ish, and it's going to be called the Foot Traffic Formula. So please know this isn't something you can apply to do, but it is something I will definitely be offering the next round, okay? So I just want to make sure I put that out there because I guarantee I'm going to get questions of how do I sign up for one of these? So I hope you love this episode as much as I loved recording it. I think you are going to get some big game changers. And this is going to be amazing if you have an online business or a local business. We actually talk about the power of both and switching up both of them to really utilize both aspects. So you are in for a treat. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, Allison. Welcome to the show. I'm super excited you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know we already know each other and I've been working with you, but I want to pretend for a moment that I have no idea what you do because the listeners, I want them to hear kind of the backstory and everything too. So can you kind of sum up in a little bit what kind of business you have, what you specifically do, just for everybody else to know?
Sure. So I am an online health and fitness coach, and my target is busy corporate working moms who need an eating plan and an exercise plan that's simple and easy and a no-brainer. So I try to coach them into hitting their weight loss and fitness and health goals.
Okay. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. So we're really just doing an on-air coaching call where I'm going to be digging in, asking questions, finding out where I can best help you. So do you have a few questions to get me started, or do you have like a biggest struggle that you know you need to figure out how to overcome this?
So I think in terms of my biggest struggle, it's consistent leads as well as trying to establish more of a local presence since I am online, but I'm realizing a lot of my clients are like local in-town moms. Mm. So kind of balance between online, but also, you know, not having a brick and mortar, but appearing like I do.
Yeah. Okay. This topic, that is so good. So first, I always tell people, I don't care what kind of business you have. If you have this online virtual presence, I think you definitely need a local presence too. And if you have a local presence, there's no reason for you not to be using online marketing strategies to grow locally. So I love that you just said that because a lot of people don't understand why. Mm-hmm. And I think having that local presence first, it's easier to convert when you're face to face. Like Our conversions are through the roof when somebody walks into our building. So you don't have to have a physical location to have a local presence. So I love that you're bringing that up. So have you started any sort of local presence already?
So I've been trying to get some local like speaking engagements at the local library. I also signed up for a ladies' night out event, like a vendor event where they have a variety of different vendors and tables to kind of get the word out, get my logo and branding out there.
Okay. I love this. So I have a couple suggestions right off the bat with you talking about these local events. And this is a great way if you don't even have an actual building or location to really utilize upcoming events in your area. Now, as we're recording this, it's summer, and tonight we're going to a food truck event, and there's like all these different things happening, you know, farmers markets and all this other stuff. So reaching out to certain companies to see if you can donate your time or, you know, have a little training there or something fun where you're not looking to make money, but you're really just trying to give for that kind of visibility in return. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that.
Okay. Yeah. And you'll be shocked if you go just kind of search like, you know, free events in the area, put in your city name or your zip code or like free summer activities, pop those in and see. Now you can absolutely go to some paid events too. I know I'm just saying free, but there's going to be a ton of people that show up usually at these free events in your community. And it's going to be a really great way to get visible and get out there. Now, be careful because sometimes people think having your logo visible is good enough, and it really isn't. You want to be demonstrating or handing something out or getting people to understand what it is you do. Okay. So talking about, you said fitness. Did you say anything with meal? Tell me again.
I do. So I do a lot of like, it's basically macro coaching. So educating people about protein, carbs, and fat. I educate a lot around meal prep, meal planning, recipes, healthy hacks.
Okay. So this would be kind of cool. And this is just how I just think of things randomly. And you might be like, that's horrible. Okay. No problem. Don't do it. But I'm going to just give you an idea. So I feel like when you go to these local events, we put a lot on and we go to a lot as a family. A lot of times people have the table set up and things like that. And they get drawn in when there's a game or a raffle or something. What if you had like two different meals or two different, like just little different food like groups or something. Mm-hmm. And the question is like, which one's healthier or like which one's better for you, right? And you have like an obvious, what maybe they think is an obvious choice. And it's maybe some things that are filled with sugar, but in their eyes, it's healthy, right? And you have like the winner, anybody that wins something gets something, or that it gets drawn into a raffle or something like that. Because what I'm trying to show you here is you don't want to just do a spin the wheel that has nothing to do with your business, right? Right. You want to show and educate. And by showing somebody like, oh, which one would you pick? Or they know like, well, this is the one I would pick and I can't believe it's this one, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So am I getting your wheel spinning at all? Like, did you
yes.
think anything off of that? Because usually you yes. guys will think of something way better than me after I give you an idea.
Totally. Because I could do like two different things, like two different snacks and have the macros and be able yeah. to just kind of flip it over and like, look at the macros on this one compared to this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know how like back in the day when I would watch like The Price is Right?
Yes.
You know how they have like, you would have two prices and you would show like a, I don't know, something and you'd say what the price is and you had to guess which one. You could do that
yes.
with macros or with what or calories or whatever you want to share, like which one. And then almost like a game out of it. Maybe you have five snacks or something like that too.
I love that.
Okay. And then you could do, because people like giveaways and stuff like that. You could give them a health, a snack that you believe is healthy. Mm-hmm. And it could be attached to a little, maybe a business card or something where you have your information and then a reason to buy or join or do something with you right then and there. Or even just saying like, hey, I'm hosting a free training event coming up in this. And if you liked this, maybe come check that out too.
Love it.
Yeah. People that like free events, like free events. So they'll definitely go to another one. But you've just got to be careful because you don't want, Brooke Castillo calls them freeple.
Yeah.
People who only want free stuff. Now, here's the thing. Some people like free stuff, but they'll totally pay if it's the right thing, you know, if they see the value in it.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. I'm really liking this.
I love that.
So, and you guys, I like how Allison is thinking outside the box, where she is an online coach. She can serve anybody all over the world, but she's like, how can I do something local? And think about this. It's hard online sometimes to feel like anybody can see you, right? Because it's just so saturated. But mm-hmm. when you take your expertise locally, you're going to be the only person talking about this at this local event.
Totally.
This is no longer it. Saturated, you know? Okay. The biggest thing I want to tell you is really make sure when you go to pitch yourself to whoever the event is that, you really can show them how it's a win-win. Like you're going to bring something, you're going to have a game, you know, there, you want them to be like, okay, she's actually bringing value to this, not just like she's trying to sell her thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when you share your mission and your vision of what you're doing and why you're doing it, if you mm-hmm. get the right person to be like, yes, this is important, I want her here, then great.
Awesome.
And then last thing I want to say about that is the type of event. So if you're going to a really family-friendly event, make sure it's family-friendly food and nutrition and stuff that you're talking about. Like make sure it really ties in with the theme, or if it's a women's event, you know, like really gear it towards what it is and who's going to be in that audience.
Okay.
Questions on any of that stuff?
One of the questions I had is kind of building off of that. Do you have any thoughts around partnering with other local businesses and like alliances and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So I would make a huge list of anybody that comes to mind, or even post on Facebook and just say, hey, like who are your favorite, and like list certain categories or give examples, right? So let's say with my dance studio, I might post locally and say something like, and I'd say, I say locally, but really just like my Facebook page or something. I might, or ask my friends, but I might say like, hey guys, I'm looking to partner with some other people in the children's industry, you know, like gymnastics and, what else would there be, like swimming schools or karate or a kid's consignment shop? Like, do you guys know anybody or have any recommendations of who I should be checking out? Like, let them tell you names, because like then you can also say like, hey, one of my friends actually recommended you, right? It just kind of gives a easier in when you can say somebody had suggested them.
Love that.
Yeah. So I guess the biggest thing is who is complimentary and not competitive. So I'm not going to go around asking the local dance studios to join me.
Right.
Sorry guys. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to put on your own event, but I'm going to find people that are, you know, like I said, complimentary and not competitive. We have the same audience, but we're not doing the exact same thing. Right.
Yeah.
So even somebody like the gymnastics studio, I mean, technically it could be a little competitive, but at the same time, it's not an either or situation for everybody. So my girls do dance and gymnastics, right? So you might have a little crossover where you're like, I don't know. She kind of does this. Yeah. But she doesn't do exactly what you do. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I would say get recommendations, ask around, and be observant when you go to these events and stuff, like who's already there.
Yeah. Awesome. So then going back to the events, and we talked about, you know, free versus paid for the paid ones, how do you typically look at that and say, okay, is this going to be a good ROI on my time and my money?
Yeah. So you have to be careful, because if you pay to go to them, right? So you pay to be there, let's say. You have to buy a booth or do something like that. But be careful, because I mean, I've done this too. Maybe the people coming in are free. Or another thing that I've noticed is, let's say I'm trying to get a particular city or a particular area, but the event is held not that close to this area. And or it's or maybe it's held close, but it's really grabbing a wide range of people driving in from far away. Do I really want to target those people? You may or may not, depending on if you can sell that online program. So just be thinking about the quality of people buying a ticket, because they might be getting, you might be paying, but they might be getting it for free, or they're paying such a low cost that it really doesn't matter. So it is a gamble. It's just like anything else. You're going to test and try it out and then evaluate, and you might spend $600 and go, we didn't really get anybody from that. You know what I mean? One time we bought, there's this new baseball field that came, like huge baseball field, just tons and tons of kids. And I think we bought banners to go on the, like the field on the out, like the outside. And we were brand new to the area too, as our second location. This was a major hot spot. So we put up banners for maybe like $3,000 for the whole year. And it was really hard to track, like, did it do anything for us? You know what I mean? But I still thought it's a new area, visibility, let's just try it, test it. But when I'm gambling like that, it's, I don't do a gamble where I'm going, oh no, if I don't make my $3,000 back, I'm stuck, right? It's kind of I know it's a gamble. I hope people see it. I do ask things like, how did you hear about us? So when somebody new joins, I'm hoping they say, oh, the banner at the baseball field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could be really ask people where they're coming from to see what's working. And just know that in the beginning, you are going to, not even in the beginning. I mean, even now we're gambling on things that are new opportunities and we're like, oh, let's try it. But then we are going, you know, is this worth it? Is this worth our time? Because sometimes the paid events could be way better than the free event. You just never know.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to say to you, when I had mentioned, you know, see who's at these events, other businesses. The reason I like that is it's the same thing with podcast interviews. sometimes I'll message somebody and I'm like, oh, I want them on my podcast, but they don't do podcasts. Like it's like, they might be an amazing business owner, but they don't do podcast interviews. So it's easier to get a podcast guest to come on when she's a podcaster, right? Because she does podcasts. So same thing with collaborators in your local community. Some people, they don't really understand collaborations and they're like, why is this business reaching out? Like they're very confused or they're so busy. They don't have time to like think about this other, they don't have time to think about marketing, which is so sad, but they don't. So when you see people who are participating at events or sponsoring people, those people already get it. Like they're my version of the podcasters. They understand. They know. Yeah. They're a much easier yes than somebody who you've never seen out there who's like, what is she talking about? Who is this girl? Why does she want to do this with me? Right? Because you'll be surprised. Like we'll offer some people amazing collaborations and they turn me down and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Like they just, they have no idea, right? So their easier yeses are out there and I would definitely be observing that.
Awesome. That's a great point.
What else? I know you went through the Profit Mastermind where, which will now be called the Foot Traffic Formula. And as you were building funnels, as you were doing things, was there any parts that you're stuck on that I could even help you with through that?
So I think one of the struggles I have is it seems like my funnels do really well, like at the get-go. And then it's, I kind of hit a wall when I'm like, okay, so how do I change this to keep making it,
keep it going
effective? Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing that we have to realize too is sometimes if you're building new funnels and they do well in the beginning, it's because your warm market who already likes you is jumping on it and then it fades. Okay. So that could be the situation if you keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, they'll always do better than they will at the end because the warm market is usually jumping in and now you're talking to cold people. So that's normal. So I'm so glad you asked that. But even though the drop-off is normal, we still want to be saying to ourselves, how can I make this funnel better? So let's just say somebody goes and they grab like this free macro training, right? And the opt-in is about 40% conversion, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're really happy with it. But then all of a sudden it's like 29. And you're like, I can see it slipping. So what we need to be doing is going, how can I make this better? How can I go from 40 to 41%, right? Like what are my little tweaks? So we're always split testing and figuring out, okay, if this one is doing this, I'm going to see if by adding this video instead of a picture, like what happened now? You know what I mean? You're always trying to outdo your current funnel. And it's such a good point because it's not just like you create it and you let it sit there. You create it, you track it, and then you go back, and then you tweak something, and then you track it, and then you tweak something. So you're always testing, which is why marketing really is like a full-time job in your business.
Yeah, totally. Okay, that's great.
Did you ask another question off of that? You said it works well, it's fading a little bit.
Yeah, it was just some examples like you just gave one, the video versus the picture. Like what are some of the different ways that you can improve your funnels?
Okay. This is so good. So a couple, okay. So obviously that one, video versus picture, right? Mm-hmm. Another one could be changing the headline. So maybe you keep saying macros, but people don't know what macros are. Like there was a time when I had no idea what a macro was. Okay. So maybe you phrase it a different way to see like how warmed up is this audience to what you're teaching.
Right.
They just want to lose like 10 pounds, but you keep saying the word macro and they don't know what you're talking about.
Gotcha. Okay. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. So verbiage you can be testing. And then you could be testing long opt-in pages versus short. So sometimes a short to the point, like grab this here, works way better than you trying to convince me for scrolling. Mm-hmm. Right. So just testing, you know, do they need more information or are they so warmed up they're ready to opt in immediately when they come to that page?
Gotcha. That's a great one.
Yeah. And here's the thing, you can't test everything at one time. So let's say your original version is picture with a certain headline and it's really short. You wouldn't split test it with video, different headline, very long. Because if it outdoes the first one, you don't know what worked.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would split test it. I would clone I would copy the entire first funnel and I would just take the picture away and put the video and I would see which one's doing better, picture or video. And then when you're like, wow, video is just so outperforming the picture, scrap the picture one and now go, okay, we're keeping the video. Let's change up the headline. And now you have two video versions, but the headlines are different. So you're just constantly trying to tweak. And this is why it will never stop. You will always be trying to outdo yourself. And sometimes you'll realize, like, I didn't outdo myself. That headline is the winner. Like, that is the headline I want to keep. So then you're going to go to the next part and the next part and so on.
And how long do you typically make a change, leave it and see how it goes? Do you wait till like the numbers start to drop?
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, you're just, I mean, I'm checking in on certain funnels in the beginning, probably daily to see what's going on. But then you may even want to just look at it weekly and go like, where could we be doing better here? You know what I mean? Like, where does it make sense? So I think if you do it too fast, you got to give it a little bit of time. So I would be allowing it to sit there and see what happens to see if there's really a change in what's going on. I'd be okay with it staying at the level, but I would never want to see it go down. You know what I mean? Like if you get 40% and you're like, no, it consistently converts at 40%. Obviously you still want to tweak and test. Maybe you're trying to outdo it like once every week or two, you're going in there and split testing it. But there is going to come a point when it's like you've dialed in, and honestly, 40% on an opt-in page is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there might come a point when you're like, no, this is it. And I just had a friend who was doing a different opt-in and she's like, we're getting 60%. Now I don't know how much more time she's going to spend trying to increase that number, but she's definitely going to monitor it to make sure it doesn't drop below.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Did you have any struggles as you were going through the program? Did you have any struggles, I mean, actually building out the funnel? Because you really did build out funnels and some people get so caught up in that. So what were the struggles that you were having?
So I think at first it was trying to decide between ClickFunnels and lead pages. And then the light bulb you gave me was, you have Kajabi. They're like, you can do this in Kajabi. So yeah, that was... and then it was like, it's super easy to clone it in Kajabi. So that was like a huge,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really only setting up the first one that's going to take you work if you don't have ClickFunnels and you're not able to actually clone ours. But once you set it up, it doesn't make sense for you to use ClickFunnels if you're already using Kajabi and you have access to building funnels, right?
Exactly.
People get really caught up in what software? I mean, yes, there are some softwares where I'm like, I probably wouldn't do that. It's not really the higher quality one, but like Lead Pages, Kajabi, ClickFunnels, like those are all great. Like you can do really well with those. So yeah, I'm so glad you realized I already have the tools. I'm going to use this over here. And it's just for you, it's just so streamlined and all together.
Yes. I love it. Okay. I definitely love it. I do have another question. So my niche is busy corporate moms and I'm now starting to branch out. I had my first meeting this week, actually, it's very exciting, with HR departments that are looking at bringing my services in to their employees.
100%. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, this is a little bit different, you know, kind of audience, and I'm trying to use LinkedIn and just kind of want to pick your brain on.
Yeah. So LinkedIn is going to be amazing for you for sure. Here's the one thing that is good is you can start to say where you've been, right? So if you get a corporation locally to you, all of a sudden, now when you go to pitch the next corporation, you get to drop that you already had gone into the other place, right? Mm-hmm. So people are like, oh, wow, she's like getting around town and people are hiring her. And okay. So I think that's going to be huge. And even if you have to volunteer your services a few times to get your foot in the door before you start dropping these names that you've been there is great. And they don't know that you weren't hired, right? They're thinking like, wow, she's put on a training there. That's amazing. So I think, yes, I think LinkedIn, what I like about this idea for you is it's not trying to get one mom at a time. You're now possibly getting one company that might have hundreds of people that work there.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. I would be thinking about, are you trying to get the company to buy a program for you, or no, are you trying to get the corporate mom there to buy it individually?
Well, it's funny, based on the meeting I had, they want me to offer like three different options. So employee paid, company paid, and then subsidized.
Okay. Yeah. I think that might even be like the standard. I think people are going to be asking you for those. So I would be thinking about that for sure. This is going to be really good for you. And this is where people need to be thinking outside the box, because one person at a time can feel like this is not working. This is taking too long. One HR department that you get into that business. man, it could be huge for you. It could be what you've been doing all year, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So, I think this is where it's very relationship based. This is where you, if you're going to do this through LinkedIn or whatever platform you're doing, make sure that your platform is really up to par, where if they check you out, they get to see you on video. They get to see what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many opportunities I've received because somebody said, I actually saw you on YouTube, or I saw your video on your Facebook page, because they want to see, how do I speak? Like, what do I look like? What am I, not to say like, what do I look like, but am I going to be professional, right? Like, do I look professional standing in front of their audience? Do I represent their brand well, right? So they want to, and that's why you have to be very careful when you're jumping on. You're like, oh, I'm a hot mess today, but I'm jumping on. That might be the one video somebody checks out of you. You know what I mean?
Very true. Say,
like, you're so polished all the time. I'm like, I am making an impression, and usually I'm making a first impression to at least one person every time I jump on. Like right now, this podcast is the first podcast that somebody has ever heard. So you've really got to put your best foot forward all the time, because you just don't know who's listening and what that opportunity could do for you. Mm-hmm. So I would really make sure, if LinkedIn's going to be a place that you really focus on to reach out, I would make sure your LinkedIn page and profile and everything is up to par, where they're going to do the look, you look the look test, and mm-hmm. you just want to make sure that it does look professional. And they're like, wow, this person is really, they look like they'd be a really good fit for our company. And I would do a little research on their company before you just dive in and pitch them. Like, this is definitely going to be a relationship building thing. You might hear a few no's in the beginning, mm-hmm. and you might have to just keep going back to them to check in later on. Like, it's definitely in the follow-up with something like this.
Great. No, those are great points. And it's funny, during the meeting, they raised a good point, because they went to my website and they're like, well, you're very female focused. Mm-hmm. And I said, I was like, no, I've trained men, but that is not my target, you know, my target audience, but I could definitely. So I said, I'll create a custom webpage with your logo and make it more neutral.
I was actually thinking about that. So if you're very female focused, but you're trying to go into a corporation where it's everybody, they might not love that. So I think that mm-hmm. that might even be something, where in the future, you can say, we do this for you. Like that could be one of the perks of this custom website or custom landing page or things like that, where they don't feel like, oh, she's the woman, like fitness coach.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I love that.
Cool.
Okay. Amazing. Other questions for me?
Gosh, I could stay here all day and ask.
I know. And honestly, this is why I love doing on-air coaching. This has been such good content that I have not shared. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. I'm so happy you're here, Allison. Thank you for doing
it. Yes. Yes. No. This has been awesome. And I appreciate all your feedback and time, and that you just, I love the new idea, fresh ideas.
Yeah. I'm happy to help. And here's the thing. Remember, you have lifetime access to go into those funnels that we have in the foot traffic formula. You can go in, copy, clone, see what's going on. Like, keep using those resources, because as time goes on, you might be going, okay, I need to split test again. I need to figure out like what's next. So don't forget, you have access to that.
Awesome. No, that's a great point.
Allison, where, if people are like, I need to hear more about these macros and things she's talking about, where can my audience go and find you and find out more about your business?
Yes, you can visit. My website is AllisonJacksonFitness.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook at Allison Jackson Fitness. So I'm hopefully everywhere.
Okay, amazing. Allison, thank you for being here. Thank you for being such a great student and actually doing the work and putting these funnels up. And I love that about you, and I appreciate you so much.
Thanks so much, Stacey. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. But don't worry, if you're craving more business building guidance, I've got two places to send you. First, be sure to join our free Facebook group at foottraffic.club. You'll get support from other small business owners like you, plus exclusive content from me. And if you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.